for this evening's message is taken from the same passage that we have read for the scripture reading passage, Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. It is said that one of the first few important means for you to get through difficult or tough times in your life is to have the right, proper, and practical or pragmatic actions that would enable you to go through life. So the focus is how we would deal with situations, how we would act, the visible things that we do in our lives. But is it true that such right, proper, and practical actions are sufficient in itself to get you through life? Are we able to sustain such proper and practical actions in themselves in the long term? Let us turn our attention to Matthew chapter 5 and focus particularly on verses 43 to 48. So let us all turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. And let us read once again through the verses 43 to 48. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So we would be first be touching on the natural human scope of love, that is from verse 43. The godly scope and extent of love, verse 44. The foundation and reason for godly love, verses 45 to 47, and the outcome and fruit of godly love. So first, we need to know that the natural human scope of love, we would naturally limit loving people to our neighbors, and surely not inclusive of your enemies. So love only your neighbors, not your enemies. It would surely be your natural human response and reaction to only love your neighbors. The people who do you good, who care for you, who bring personal benefit and advantages into your life. So the Jews have heard that they were to love their enemies, love their neighbors and hate their enemies. Verse 43 says, ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. So that they heard, and it was not written down, means that it's a interpretation, rabbinical interpretation, from the Jewish teachers, even during Jesus' time. So it's a verbal tradition or interpretation of some written material, and they extrapolated it to say, thou shalt love only your neighbors and hate your enemies. We would be able to see this very evidently when we turn to the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, Exodus 23, verses 4 to 5, and Proverbs 25, verse 21 tells us actually love is not limited to only neighbors, but also enemies as well. So it's possible that we would rationalize why we should only love our neighbors and not our enemies. So remember the parable of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. Remember the lawyer asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And among the reply was, the term used was, "Love your neighbor." And then the lawyer's reply was, "Who is the neighbor?" And Jesus' reply was through the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it implies that the definition of what a good neighbor is from whom mercy was received. Luke chapter 10, verse 37. His wounds, the injured man's wounds, were treated with oil and wine before being bound up, taking him on the other person's own beast. That means the Good Samaritan carried the injured man onto the beast and took him to the inn and was prepared to even stay there to take good care of him and to pay for whatever days that this man, this injured man, was going to stay there. So we can picture in our minds, what are the benefits, the good things that this good Samaritan did for this man? And in the Jewish mindset is, the neighbor is defined to be the person or the persons who do you good, who help you, who take care of you, and so on. So is your definition of your neighbor only limited to people who treat you with mercy and kindness, and from whom you benefit and have advantages from? And it is this group of people that you only love. We often work with different kinds of people. We often interact with different kinds of people. You may be physically close to different kinds of people, but you only choose to relate and to interact well or to treat others well based on your impression of them. So, how would you define who your neighbor is? After knowing that the natural human scope of love is limited to only our neighbors, as God's children, actually, we should go beyond this human scope to the extended scope and extent of godly love. Verse 44. God's love and our love should not be limited to our only neighbors, but also extended to enemies too. Let me read verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your neighbors, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So it is surely not our natural human response and attitude to love our enemies. We surely cannot do it with our own human strength and ability. If we depend on our own human strength and ability, definitely we will be selective with who and when we love, when to love. In contrast, God will help us when we seek His help to love everyone, including those we find difficult to love. This is certainly what Corrie ten Boom experienced in her life. Who is Corrie ten Boom? I think some of us may know. She was part of a Dutch family who was imprisoned for helping to hide and save numerous Jews from the Nazis during World War II. As a result, she was in prison, and also her sister and most of her family in a concentration camp named Ravensbrück, located near Berlin, Germany. It was in this camp, and also through the actions of one of the most cruel guards, that her own sister Betsy died in the concentration camp. After the war, this particular guard became a Christian and specifically asked Corrie for her forgiveness. Can imagine the heart, or even within the heart, the struggle Corrie struggled with to forgive this particular guard. All that he had done to her, to her sister, to her family. How could she humanly forgive her? But she remembered what God's word said in Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So she testified, when she thought of that verse, God's word from Romans 5:5. That same moment, I was free and I could say, "Brother, give me your hand." And I shook hands with him. And Corrie, one of the quotation that she had is, "When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with the command the love itself." So Corrie Ten Boom overcame the struggle to forgive, to love the hardest person in her life. And it was not her own strength, but it was only God who gave her the strength to do so. So as you sincerely and earnestly seek to not only love our neighbors, but also our enemies, God will grant you what he granted to Corrie Ten Boom, the strength and grace for you to do so. And this includes forgiving others when they wrong you. And this would help you to continue loving them. So is there anyone in your life right now that you need to surrender to God for you to help forgive and love them? Maybe he or she has stolen away the credit for your project work or work project, or you have suffered some backstabbing from another person. However, when you have this attitude of love, instead of thinking and wishing evil for them, thinking that something bad surely must happen to them, we would instead be blessing them, actively seeking after and engaging in good acts or actions towards them, and praying for them and their good. We see this in verse 45, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Verse 44 instead. "But I say unto you, love your neighbors, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So we can see the actions that we are encouraged as Christians and God's children to engage in, to bless them, to do good, and to pray. All of these are active things that we should be engaged in. However, we must realize that loving actions in itself is not sufficient. It is only from an inner heart attitude that is fleshed out in actions that will enable our actions to keep on going in the long term. So from the rest of this chapter of Matthew 5, we can see this focus on the heart attitudes. From the Beatitudes from verses 3 to 12, you can see such terms as poor in spirit in verse 3, meek in verse 5, merciful in verse 7, and pure in heart in verse 8. All these are focus, help us to focus on what really matters, which is the attitudes in our heart. And also in verses 21 to 42, the bigger portion of what Jesus is saying, helping us to understand the fuller and deeper understanding of what the Old Testament means. It's not only like murder, as one example, as an action. But what happens that leads to it is anger. Anger that leads to murder. Lust that leads to adultery. And swearing oaths. What is the basis of that? Is actually the priority of absolute truthfulness. The tit for tat. And not a never-ending chain of vengeance. So, when a life is taken, another life, the Old Testament says, is to take another life for it, so that as not to carry on this chain of vengeance. But instead, Jesus is encouraging us to forgive and not return evil with good. So you can tell with all the emphasis throughout this chapter is towards an inner heart attitude that is fleshed out through our actions in our lives. So besides knowing that our human love is naturally limited to only our neighbors, and our godly love is extended also to our enemies, what is the foundation and basis of having or practicing godly love? When we love everyone, even though at times it may seem humanly impossible to do so, it sets us apart as believers. Remember that God is love, and we as his children need to have this attitude, the heart attitude of love in our lives. Exercising godly love is not natural and comes from the outflow of God's love for you. So reading from verses 45 to 47, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? So, when you look at verse 45, the order of the two groups, you can see the first mention of the evil and the good, and then there's a reversal to mention the just, and then secondly, the unjust. So what may be Jesus' point is that none of the two groups should be of first priority. Everyone should be loved equally. As God has loved all of us in this world. John 3:16. God's love is for everyone, and his gift of love is available for all. Similarly, loving all people includes really all people. Not only believers, but also unbelievers. And the people who we see as virtually unlovable and so-called difficult people is definitely unnatural. And we would need the supernatural strength and grace from God to do so. Galatians 6, verses 9 to 10 reminds us. Let me read Galatians 6, verses 9 to 10. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we need to realize that we need to love all people. This would also include saluting or greeting or paying them attention and not ignoring them. Verse 47. As we love all people, this would surely set us apart as believers and God's children. As it was is mentioned, as the contrast that we are given in verses 46 and 47 tells us, it's natural human nature to love those who are easy to love. But for us as Christians, we should go the second mile or the extra mile in doing this, that we rely on God's strength and grace to even love those who we find difficult to love. So this is why friends or groups of close friends or cliques come about. We naturally would want to be close or to love those who we find comfortable to love. So, but Jesus' command is for us to extend our love and influence beyond these close groups to everyone, to open up our influence and love to all people. This is part of being light and salt on this earth. Matthew 5:13-16. So people are placed in your life, different kinds of people. And you may think, why would God place them in my life? God has placed you in your families, in your schools, in your workplaces. And you may think, I cannot find myself relating to this person. Why has God placed me here? Surely it's not an accident, but it's part of God's purpose to develop this area of love in your life. So after knowing about the limited scope of natural human love to only neighbors, the extended scope of godly love to even enemies, and that putting into practice godly love as children of God is expected for us as children of God, you can also expect in the process to grow to become more like our Heavenly Father, verse 48. As you grow in this rather difficult area of loving all people, this is a very difficult thing for even Christians to practice, even for mature Christians to practice as well. Knowing this, this would surely stretch your faith so that all other areas of your life, spiritual life, would surely grow too. So verse 48 reminds us, as we practice this area of loving all people, we would be Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The word perfect in verse 48 does not mean that we would become sinless. That's not the meaning of perfect that is being used in this verse 48. But it means that we would reflect more and more of God and His love to others. As God is love, we need to reflect this attribute or characteristic of God in our lives towards others. And remember that God's love is not selective. It's available to all. And we need to ensure that our love, our attitude towards others, is like who God would be to them. So this is the same principle how an athlete would do. What would an athlete do to keep his physical fitness and muscles? He would need to keep up his regular physical exercises. Maybe he has a very strict routine, daily routine. What time to wake up? What to eat? What time? When to exercise and so on. He has a strict regimental routine. So he needs to keep up with it. He needs to be disciplined. Similarly, our spiritual knowledge. What we know from the Bible, from the Word of God, from what the Holy Spirit is teaching us, even through others, other Christians that we relate with. We can grow in our knowledge, and that is good. But what really is needed is to put what we know, what we gain in our minds, to put it into good use, apply it into our lives, so that we will know God even more. So how do you love all peoples without excluding anyone? It is surely not only about your actions. If you forcibly do and to tell yourself, just, I need to love. And hopefully, through my actions, I will develop the heart to love others. It is surely not this direction, but it should be the other direction, that actions, our loving actions, do come out from our inner heart attitudes towards others. As such, each of us should allow God's love to fill you to the extent that it overflows in your life, and that you develop this heart attitude to love others as God loves them too. So as you develop this heart attitude of loving others, as I've said, it would surely help you in other areas of your spiritual life. Because as you develop the discipline, the determination to grow in this area, naturally, it would help you to realize that when you turn to God for His help, even in one area of your life, you can also depend on Him to help you to become perfect as God is perfect, not only in this one area, but in all areas of your life. So two questions that I would like for each of us to pray and think through and pray for a short time. So question one is, how are you exercising your love muscle towards others in your life? How are you doing in this area of loving others? Think about the five love languages, such as words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Obviously, some may not be applicable, especially during this time. But of course, there are creative ways to do it. But beyond the actions, how is your heart attitude towards, especially towards those who are you are finding difficult to love? How are you doing in this area? Now, question two, is there anyone in your life right now that you need to surrender to God to help you forgive and love him or her? So maybe I would not know. Maybe there are certain person or persons in our life, each and every one of our life, that we need to surrender to God to for him, for God to help us to grow in this area. So let us spend some time, a short time, to commit these two questions and areas into prayer and to seek God's help in these two areas. So let us spend this time, each of us personally, with God during this time. Dear Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is always applicable, that is always reminding us that we need to be always growing in our walk and faith in you. We pray that you grant us your grace and strength in this area of loving others, and even especially those people in our lives that we find difficult to love them. We pray that you also place in us the desire in our hearts to keep on growing in our faith, to keep on growing in our walk with you. Help us as we go through life that we need to depend on you more and to know that you are always there for us when we need help. We pray and commit each and every one into your hands. Keep us safe, keep us close to one another, even as we walk as individual Christians. Help us to encourage and to also remind each other, and also help us to be accountable to one another as well. We pray and commit all of this into your hands. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.